The Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 9 verse 5, he said, for every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and comments blood in blood.
Ho, 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 hey, ho, 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 hey.
For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and comments. Rose in blood. Opa Tatia. Abeleto. Sunda Papatala. Hey!
Ta. Ta 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 ta. Ia ta 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 ta. Ia wata. Sia.
Come here. You have not prayed. Come here. Call precious. Call. The two of you join hands. I'm going to give you extra time. 2 minutes. I don't know what is going to happen in these 2 minutes. I said, there is no time. They are deceiving you that you are young. That's what they told your father. By the time he realized it was a lie, he was 50 years old. not wait till you are married. Bear your body now.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen. Ante beberadea, sumre de berekumbra, asabira tapakamre te de bente, satambata, apete ketekua tabaras. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. You can be seated. When you see men that have gone to the brewery of the Spirit, you will know. You will know. Like my brother now. Look at that, my brother. Come. Like this, my brother is coming from the brewery. Like Victor has not visited the. He is off. We are from the same clan. David said, "O Lord my God, early will I." That I there is talking about the spirit man. Seek you. My soul thirsted after thee. That is speaking about the soul. And my flesh longeth after thee. That is talking about the body. So for a man to enter into the depths of seeking, the three dimensions of him must come in harmony. Say you are praying and your body is not praying. You are praying. You don't know anything. You have not read your Bible well. Hold hands with your neighbor. Let's vibrate for just 1 minute. Okudele. Shatata. I've been looking for you in the spirit. Shatetombre. Sirambe patata kaprendo rata hasabenata. Share grace. Rapatam retetete. Simamemetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetet
Amrete beberente barahatas. Somrete becamrete batai. I can see in the spirit current of life and electricity is passing through the joint hands. Current of electricity and fire. Siye, pabaya. Aye, takoba.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen. 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 Amen, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Oh my God. Hallelujah, amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Sha-ta-ta-ta-ta. Hallelujah, amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Oh my God. Hallelujah, amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen. I hear in the spirit fresh infilling. Fresh infilling. Fresh infilling. Fresh infilling. Fresh infilling. Fresh. 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 Tyannos. Fresh. Tyannos. Fresh. Ay, mama, mama, mama. Oh, 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 ha, 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 ha. Some of you will receive a fresh touch from Jesus. A fresh touch from Jesus. When you are here, 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 oh my God. When you are here,
where you are here. 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 He's here. Where you are here. Where you are here.
Are you here, Tommy?
Where you are here. 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 Jesus, Jesus. Where you are here. 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 Where you are here.
First Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. We continue with our teachings, the priesthood and the eternal purposes of God. We have learned thus far how priesthood is eternally linked to the purposes of God, and we did a rundown. Let me give you a rundown in the next few minutes. If you go to the book of Genesis, one of the things you will see there is that Abraham, when he finished from the warfare he had with the five kings of Canaan. Are you with me? If you are with me, say amen. When he came back from the warfare, he met a man on the way, and the scripture began to give us the description of such a man that he met. He said that his name was Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the priest of the Most High God. I think it was there that the scripture began to tell us for the first time about this terminology called priest and priesthood. And when priesthood was revealed in the scriptures for the first time, and I've taught you people the principles of biblical interpretation, that there is what we call the principle of first mention. Are you with me? That we give some kind of special attention to that part of the scripture where a subject is first mentioned. Are you getting the point now? So from there we began to hear about priest and priesthood. And when priest and priesthood was first mentioned in the scripture, the reference was from the eternal dimension. Are you getting the point now? Showing you that whatever men began to do after then, that is termed priesthood, is just a mere representation of a reality that is already found in God and in heaven. Because the scripture said that this is Melchizedek, the king of what? Salem. Thank you. The priest of the Most High God. And when he appeared to Abraham, Abraham gave him the tithes of all. That was what the scripture was referencing in the book of Hebrews. Is it not Hebrews chapter 7? When he was talking about the Levites, that the Levites were mandated as priests to collect tithes. Meanwhile, the Levites, the power of their ministry was generated from the law. Are you with me? I don't want to go there. Maybe let me touch it. Because if you go to the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews is a pure representation, a pure comparison, contrast and comparison between two priesthoods. That is why you cannot talk about priesthood and not focus on Hebrews. Especially when you want to bring a New Testament perspective. Now, we can, of course, get to the root, the source code in the Old Testament, and we'll be able to extract the reality and truth according to the gift and grace of revelation that God has made available to us. But when you come to the New Testament, the writer of the book of Hebrews was able to go, actually, whatever that was written about priesthood in the Old Testament, the writer of the book of Hebrews made it alive in a plain language and demystified all the types and shadows that was in the old. It was types and it was shadows. But the man that wrote the book of Hebrews began to show us the reality that was there, showing us that even the priesthood that was there is simply an attempt for the God that resides in heaven to see if he can replicate an order that is already existing in him in heaven. Are you with me now? So the scripture was speaking about the Levitical order there. He said that they were mandated to collect tithes. The mandate, the power of their mandate was generated from the law. Meanwhile, their father Abraham paid tithe to somebody else. And that one he paid tithe to is called who? Melchizedek. And for him to be qualified to collect tithe, the scripture called him the priest of the Most High God. I don't want to go deep because there are many questions people are asking. And the scripture is plain. I need to ask, as I asked before, when Melchizedek collected tithe from here, what was the power of his priesthood? Are you getting the point now? So you see that the Levitical order generated their power from the law. But the Melchizedek order generated their power from faith. Because what you interact with is the unseen realm, is the eternal realm. Yet is more real than this. As I taught you people, I taught you the mystery of the other realm invading this realm, telling you that this realm you are seeing is a victim. Are you not there? That this realm, that there is something we call Toleda. Say after me, Toleda. Should I show you where it is in the scripture? Open to the book of Genesis chapter 2. That's not where I'm going, but I just felt somebody ask that question now. Why not show us? So I just said you in my spirit. So let's go there. Let me show you. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1. If you are there, say amen. If you are not there, say wait for us. Increase the volume small. You know, the way I know you have prayed, your eyes will be pure red. Am I the only one seeing it? All of you, you know. I say if you are drunken, there must be a sign. Don't tell me you are drunk, there is no sign. Your clothes is not wet. Your eyes is not red. If you refuse to pay, me, I won't allow you. I won't allow you. Especially you and your brother. I won't allow the two of you. That guy at the back.
Let's read verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made, and blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Verse 4. Are you there? These are the history or the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord made the earth and the heaven. Now, you will not be able to fully understand this thing except you have a Greek lexicon, and then you check the word generation, and what you will see there is descent. So when you read the scripture there, you will find out that the Bible is trying to say that the heavenly order gave birth to this natural order, the earthly order. You will not understand the prayer of Jesus if we fully achieve Jesus' prayer points, that one he listed, we would have achieved God's purpose through our prayer life. Yeah. Because he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is done where? In heaven. Meaning that there is a desire of the men that resides in heaven. They have a desire. Their desire is that the civilization of heaven, the emphasis of heaven, the realities of heaven should invade earth and get established. Get established so much so that the earth will begin to function by the same civilization by which heaven functions in. And when we get to that point, God desires to invade here. He doesn't need, are you with me? This disparity that is in realm, this disparity that is in possibilities, is not God's intention. God's intention is that heaven, earth will mirror heaven, such that he can enter this space and he will know that he has changed realm. He won't know that he has changed sphere, and he won't know that he has changed anything. Are you getting the point now? So God can just walk into you. And then the way he fully expresses himself in heaven is the way he will express himself in you. Are you getting the point now? That is what God desires. And that in an eternal scope, in a general scope, has already been accomplished in Christ. But that thing that was accomplished in Christ, the job of ministry and engaging priesthood now, is to take that thing that is already accomplished in Christ and accomplish it in your life. The day it is now accomplished in your life as an individual and accomplished in the body of Christ as a corporate entity, that day the work of the Holy Spirit is done. That is what we mean by the work of confirmation. That is God's target, to bring you up to speed. When you get to that point, who knows the difference? Are you getting the point now? So, when you read that scripture, you will see that the scripture is saying that the earth waited and they were just mirroring what is in the heaven. So, the spirit realm will trap things. And then when he has trapped that, it doesn't matter how long it takes. But one day, that thing that is encoded in the realm of the spirit will manifest. Have you been told what is the effect of all this prayer you are doing? Every day you are groaning, you are sweating. We are not seeing any proof. Those people does not understand till they die. They don't understand what? Till they die. Because if they understand till they die, they will know that a man that has cooked and encoded things in the spirit is only a matter of time. It will enter into this realm and begin to manifest. And some of the time when it begins to manifest, there is nothing surrounding the present circumstance that will suggest that what you are doing then is what caused that manifestation.
So men that are not wise in the things of the spirit will begin to say you are lucky. Are you lucky? You are not lucky. You are such a person that is taking advantage of what is already encoded in the spirit. Let me tell you, there are some people that experience a little bit more breakthrough than others. I need to tell you that it's not luck. That if there is an ease that you experience at any dimension of your life, and you cannot trace it to a deliberate attempt to encode things in the spirit so that it will manifest here, then there is a curse. You can't see anything without a curse on this realm. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There is nothing you can see in this natural realm that is not caused by something in the spiritual realm. You don't know. That's just your problem. It's possible the advantage you have now is something that is seeking an expression from four generations past. Are you with me? It is seeking expression for four generations. And that kind of manifestation is looking for a man that will align. So because your grandfather did not align, he didn't express himself. Your father did not properly align, he did not fully express himself. Then the thing came and he began to align. Of course, the expression is dependent on your angulation. If your angulation is... How many of you did mathematics? It's simple now. Didn't you do further maths? Okay, you did mathematics. Didn't you do mathematics? Don't you know angles? Acute angle. What else? What other angle? Which other one? Huh? You are answering like we used to answer in primary school. Let me point to somebody now. Hey, William, you are an engineer. Number one. Scalene. What do we mean by scalene? Give him mic so that his generation will hear him.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Okay, let's start with acute. What's an acute angle?
An acute angle is an angle that is less than 90.
Is it true? When it's less than 90, it's acute angle. Is it true? What of obtuse?
Obtuse is less than 180.
Less than 180?
Yes.
What of scalene?
Scalene, the middle two sides are equal. Angle with two sides equal. Is a triangle with two sides equal?
A triangle with two sides equal. Okay, you have forgotten your mathematics. I know you are a first class. That is not. All these teachers, they have hijacked my class. All these people, they are teachers, so they have hijacked me. That I'm not coming into your realm. This is what I'm saying. If you bring a small angle of them, let's say 20 degrees. Are you getting the point? And you want to funnel something. How many of you have seen a funnel? The best way I can explain to you how things come in from that realm to this realm is a funnel. Are you getting the point? So in the realm of the spirit, have you seen the shape of the top of a funnel? Have you seen it before? It is wide. That is how things are poured into you from the standpoint of your reality in Christ. Do you know how it manifests? Do you know how a funnel now gives off the content? The top is wide like this one, but the place where it discharges from is a small aperture. Are you getting the point now? So whose fault is it? Is it the one pouring or the one that is releasing? Now that means that something that is traveling from the realm of the spirit, the rate with which it will enter this realm is dependent on the angulation. So if your funnel continues to increase in angle, Eh? There is nothing you will see in revival hall that you will call local. Huh? This is labor. It's just that your eyes is not open. What you will see here is blood poured everywhere. Blood of young people. You think it's only physical blood? Physical blood is nothing. The real blood is your life blood. Your soul travail. What they saw. Are you with me? Let me teach you something. I think I've taught it before. When Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, the scripture said that the sweat that was coming out of his body is like droplets of blood. It was blood indeed. It was blood indeed, because the scripture testified in another place, that they saw his soul travail. God saw his soul travail. Think in the book of Isaiah, and he was satisfied. Do you know what it means? It means that Jesus was traveling, God was watching like this. He was watching. Oh God, he never do. He said, I'm groaning on in the step. I'm groaning. I don't try. They are looking at it like this. He has not measured up. God is watching, because there is a standard set in the spirit. Once you hit that standard, there will be a satisfaction of the water that is required for that new regime to be opened up for you. When it's open for you, even Satan, nobody can be against you. When you succeed in opening it, nobody can be against you. If somebody tries to be against you, it will work for your favor. I tell you from experience. When you succeed in pouring out your soul till something comes with an effulgence from the realm of the spirit and invades this realm, if somebody, no matter who the person is, even if Satan comes and starts and say, "Whoa," it will make you to grow fast. You don't know. I have got to a point, I'm no more afraid of the warfare of Satan. What I'm asking is for God to equip me with what it takes. The higher the warfare, the meaning is that we are moving very fast. Are you getting the point now? You have not been able to. That means you are moving very fast. So I need more warfare. I need more challenges. The only thing is that let it not come with the grace. Let it not come without the grace, rather. To be able to stand and withstand. If there is no grace, then something is wrong. But if there is abundant grace, and they become breda katai. So when Satan is bringing those things to frustrate you, he noticed that he has missed it. Do you know how he missed it? Instead of stopping you, it made you to add more time in your prayer. Haven't you noticed? Since that time that trouble started coming, kind dream, all kinds of things, you now increase. From fasting one day, struggling. I remember when I was asking you about fasting those days, you were not that much. But you are now going on 3 days. Is it not 7 days you people went the last one? These people are not human beings. I remember when I told this lady, when we were at that our church at Opunes, I told her fast 6 to 12, maybe 6 to 3. She told me that she is sick, everything is scattered. I told her that's the expectation. So what do you expect from me, to tell you to stop? You need some people to push you to your Canaan, your land flowing with milk and honey. Many times you will not want to enter. You can look at it and say, there are giants there. You will need a man like me kick you inside that place. Think it's everything that you like. When you enter there now, you will start to enjoy it. And then you will forget me. Like, I know many of you that don't like prayer before. Now you are shopping prayer. They are calling you woman of prayer. There are some of you, there are some meetings you went to, and the way you are praying, they are now raising your hand. They are now looking at you as mighty sister. Meanwhile, before we are pushing you, it seems as if we are stressing. Now you are now mighty sister now. Okay, go and buy wine for me, miracle. I know you. I've been looking for you for how many years now? Now we have found you this year. So when she now started fasting, she I'm the one that is holding her. Please reduce, oh, before somebody will die. She will come and tell me that she wants to go on 7 days. I say, no, just be doing three. This guy will come and tell me, sir, I want to run into the bush and not come out again. Is all these men you are seeing here, they are strange men. None of them is normal. That is why they can hear what I'm teaching. If you are not a strange man, you can't hear this my teaching. It's very hard. Is it my own sisters? There is no rest in my house. My mother used to complain because she used to feel that she's the one that prays every night until they collected all the night from her. One person will start from 11. Bo. 2 hours. Stop by one. Another person will pick by one. And stop by three. Another person will pick by three. Stop by five. My mother will be waiting for space to start her own. So there is no space. Daybreak. She started complaining. She doesn't know whether she should be happy or be disturbed that her own. Are you with me now? Pastor, it's good to see you. Is it this one, the day I met him? Our story is a long story. Is it this person, the way this man struggled with prayer? Meanwhile, in his heart, he likes prayer. Oh, yeah, pray now. You know it's Jesus that saved you. Do you know why? You would have been one of the problems of this our generation. Because you would have gotten, the way you were going, you would have gotten revelations to sponsor that. Do you know now? He has gotten a lot of revelations to sponsor his carelessness. You would have been in Zambia or Zimbabwe now, or Brazil, or South Africa as a major prophet. I'm saying somebody that has made many moves. How many visas were denied you? Is it 3 or 4? 3 visas were denied. Most of them, all the money, everything. He is moving from one prophet to another, sowing seed. This final seed. They will tell him, your ticket has been approved. God has answered your prayer. He doesn't understand how God answers prayer. I told you people, I will teach you on God's reward system. For example, when you sow a seed of 100,000, you are not wise. You will think what it means is that God will give you back 100,000 or give you back 500,000. They didn't teach you well. If they taught you well, you will understand that part of the way God pays you back is to give you something that is worth much more than money when you look at it from the scope of eternity. God will give you some blessing. One of it is that He will give you the capacity to start making right choices. You know, you can have 200,000 and it will waste by one wrong choice. One wrong decision will waste that 200,000. One wrong decision will bind your life and you can't come out. I want to ask, that thing and 1 million, which one is better? Let me give you an example. Are you with me, Chibeze? You know you are a good guy now. Suddenly you hit the mega money. You need the mega money. You now hit the mega money like 100 million. And then just like my guy, Raymond, you will now go and buy. There is a message I saw in his WhatsApp DP. And it was inside. They opened the window. Jesus. Man, He said, he wrote, me I read it, he wrote, Mazdi GLK. So after me, Mazdi GLK. Oh my God. So you are inside Mazdi GLK. You know, you don't have need for, there are many things that is not in your thoughts now. But when Mazdi GLK comes, the black and shiny one, and then you are driving.
There are some damsels that are not with me. There are some damsels that is in that rift that is not giving you eye, that will start giving you eye. Then you will now come to tent, and after one day as you are driving, you say, somebody should be sitting. How can somebody be driving car and nobody is sitting? You don't like this, my message. I don't care. Somebody should be sitting. Are you with me? Meanwhile, there is no need for somebody should be sitting when there is no GLK. And a man that his soul has not been cultured will try to appease that lust, that desire that was born out of the soul. Am I saying GLK is not good? I want you to have even private jet, self. All these people buying Okada and buying all this. Stop it. I don't want all those nonsense. Pastor, find a car. All of you, get car. Stop saving money to buy bike. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Come and tell somebody Jesus is good with a torn trouser. They'll be wondering, what kind of Jesus? Your Jesus is a wicked one. So I'm just trying to balance it up. Are you with me? So if it is born of the Spirit, you will receive with it a measure of grace to sustain you in seasons of temptation and trials. People will be, do you know, I went somewhere, probably one of the people that we are there will hear what I'm saying. And they said that God has given me breakthrough in ministry. I said, what? Because they were elderly people, I was going with them because they are elders. But in my heart, I was weeping. I was so disturbed. I felt so bad. That they say we have breakthrough in ministry. What is breakthrough in ministry? Do you know what God showed us? We have not scratched the tip. We have not started training for ministry. Let's hope our training will start in the year 2024. That's when I hope to start my training. Where are you going, self? That's why you think you are ready for ministry. The reason why I'm not, see, the only thing we do here is that we flow with the Spirit. If we notice that the Holy Spirit wants us to do like this, wants us to, you know, send out our messages, we do it. Because, are you with me? We know inside of us that our training never starts. Not because we have not become something in God, but I'm in comparison, in relationship with where you are going, miracle. In relationship to where you are going, you cannot say you have arrived by reading 2 books, 3 books. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Meanwhile, maybe William can say he has arrived. After being fellowship president, you can say you have arrived. There are people that thought they were ready as a result of the fact that they made them pray fellowship president or JCCL president. After being JCCL president, they thought that is a qualification for ministry. They didn't know that meant nothing to the mortals. That there is a training and education system that is irrespective. They don't take into account the positions that you have sat on. So this is what happened. When you begin to trace the priesthood of Melchizedek, you will find out from the book of Hebrews that his priesthood is a priesthood that can only be related through the instrument of faith. Are you with me? So, the Melchizedek priesthood is an eternal priesthood that is accessed by faith. The Aaronic priesthood is a natural priesthood that is accessed by the law. Are you getting the point now? Now, when you begin to look at the eternal priesthood of that Melchizedek, in the book of Hebrews, I think chapter 3,
the scripture began to say that he became our eternal high priest, so that once and for all he will come at the end of the age and put away sin forever. In that context, are you with me? Follow me. Are you with me? If you are with me, say amen. In that context, the Melchizedek priesthood, the high priesthood of Jesus Christ, in that context, is representing the redemptive purposes of God. So I want to show you, I'm doing a recap. Are you with me? So in you will notice that the eternal purposes of God is tied to the high priesthood of Jesus, but is beyond that. The redemptive purposes of God is also what? Tied to that. Actually, I just focused on the eternal purposes of God, but there is redemptive purposes, as I taught you people in the beginning last week. I taught you the need for redemption. And even when there is need for redemption, it still has to take the high priest to appear as a man to begin to pay the price. The scripture called him that man Jesus. Are you with me? So the scripture says he came, and once for all, in the dispensation of the end of times, he appeared to put away sin forever. In that context, the high priest is executing what? Redemptive purposes. When the high priest appeared to put away sin forever, what was he executing? Let's say it. If you know the answer, raise your hand. The scripture said that the high priest came in the last dispensation of... Let me show you. It's just that if I go there now, I want to do a recap. If I go there now, it won't come out. Jesus came to put away sin forever, and the scripture made us to understand from what we taught yesterday that he is the same high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And when he came to put away sin, he is representing the purposes of God in what dimension? And I said repeatedly that in the dimension of taking away sin, it is redemptive. Are you with me? Meanwhile, before the redemptive purposes of God, and as we understood that the purpose of redemption is to make up for the gap that we had in the eternal purposes of God as a result of the fall of man. Follow me. So when man fell, there is a need to make up for the gap, because the capacity to deliver on God's agenda was taken away from man as a result of the fall. There is a disparity, a disconnection. One of the proof of that disconnection, in fact, the reality of the disconnection, was the fact that the Spirit of God was taken away from man. Follow me now. And according to the book of Genesis chapter 6, he said, the Spirit of God, God said, my spirit shall not strive with man for too long, for he is but what? Flesh. It means that from that day, that man has subscribed to a different operating system that is called the flesh. And in such a mode, there is no possibility of God achieving his agenda. Are you with me? When a man yields to the flesh or uses the instruments of the flesh, there is no matter, even if you do good through the flesh, it will not achieve God's agenda. There is only one thing that can achieve God's agenda. It is the Spirit, and by the Spirit. Follow me. That was why the scripture was saying in the book of Galatians, in Galatians chapter 4 and Romans chapter 8, he said that we have received the spirit of sonship. Say after me, spirit of sonship. So the Spirit of God, the purpose of the Spirit of God coming into the heart of a man is to bring the man to what? Sonship. Remember, I told you people that the eternal purposes of God is to lead men to sonship. Are you with me? So if the spirit of sonship is taken away from man as a result of the fall, is the target and purpose in view? No. That is to show you that God must do something to the whole agenda to restore man to the point where the Spirit of God will come back again and tabernacle our heart. Because it is from that standpoint that the spirit of sonship will begin to work in our heart to the point that it will bring us to what? Sonship. Are you getting the point? Are you getting it now?
So that is the purpose of the redemptive dimension of God's work. Huh? And even that redemptive dimension was delivered by the high priest. Are you getting the point now? Meanwhile, the original blueprint was that the high priest was the eternal man. That the eternal man, the eternal being, the eternal office that God has ordained to achieve his project sonship. So that when he created man, all he did was to begin to pour Christ in that man. Pour Christ in that man. Because Christ, oh, if you go to the book of Ephesians, Paul was speaking there. He said that there is a mystery that was hid in God from the foundation of the world. Huh? He called that mystery what? The mystery of Christ. Meaning that he said that the holy prophets and apostles that was there before, they were, it was not revealed to them. It began to be revealed in the dispensation of the end of age, so that we will be brought into the economy of God's original agenda. Are you with me? So it was in Christ that it became obvious what God's agenda was, that all things will be summed up in Christ, meaning that all of God's agenda is found in Christ. So if it is true that all of God's agenda is found in Christ, then it means that Christ is the representation of the original entity that is called Son. Are you with me? So it means that when that Son was manifesting in this dimension, being the one that is called the man of God, he has to come in a form and in a shape that can be distributed into you in such a way that when you engage that same reality, you will become like he was. This is what it means. Jesus was the eternal Christ, or is rather is the eternal Christ, and in that eternal dimension, he is the man of God. He is the Son of God. Are you getting the point now? But when he was manifesting into this realm, he has to manifest as the Christ too, so that men that God has ordained to come in into sonship will become those sons by taking advantage of the Christ who is coming from eternity to represent what God wants us to be in time. This is what I'm saying. God wants you to be a son in time, but there is a son that is already in eternity. Are you getting the point? So when that son is moving from eternity into time, he manifested as the Christ. So we now that want to enter into sonship, we'll do that by taking advantage of the resources that is in Christ, who has become an epitome, an ultimate manifestation of what it means to be a son. When we take advantage of that, where it will lead us to is to become sons like Christ became a son. Are you with me now? So, the scripture said, Christ in you. What? So what God did is to install Christ in you as a working capacity. When you got born again, his intent, just like he wanted Adam to do, his intent is that when you deal with the installed capacity of Christ in you well enough, every single thing that you need to build up yourself to the man that have attained the full stature of Christ will be manifest. So the scripture was telling us in the book of 1 Corinthians, he said, Christ has been made unto you what? Wisdom. Has been made unto you what? Power. Has been made unto you righteousness. Has been made unto you sanctification. Let me explain to you. If you go to the book of Ephesians, there is what we call the glory of his grace and the riches of his grace. All these things I mentioned now, they are the riches of the grace. Are you with me? Meanwhile, before Christ manifested, they were in God and nobody can touch it. In fact, an attempt to touch it on that mountain killed many people. So it was in Christ that those things that was in God, these things I mentioned are components of his person. And the component of God's person is glory. I've told you people that God is measured in glory. The SI unit of God is glory, because that is why. So the component of that glory is this thing that is mentioned. Remember I told you, Christ in you is what? The hope of glory. So when God installed Christ, what he was expecting is glory. Because when you deal with Christ well enough, what we manifest is glory. What you become is glory. Are you getting the point? Meanwhile, when Christ is installed in a man, the resultant effect is that the components of glory that was in God in an indivisible and untouchable and a dimension that you cannot interact with was now released. It seemed as if there was a nuclear reaction. And when that nuclear reaction took place, the component of the Christ, the component of God's glory rather, was now reduced. I told you yesterday, in a manner that is stepped down like a transformer. So the holiness of God that you cannot touch before, God said, I am holy. Any eye that see me will die. But in Christ, you can touch the holiness of God. When God told them that this is my standard, don't kill your neighbor, don't do this, it was a revelation of his righteous standard. In that context, nobody can attend to the righteousness of God. But in Christ, you have been made righteous. Are you getting the point now? This is what we mean by the riches of his grace. The glory of his grace is inherent. In that dimension, you cannot experience it personally. But in Christ, those dimensions that is in one whole has been expanded as a nuclear reaction. By in resurrection, what was glory shine forth. And then we can interact with them individually according to the need of the hour. So the man that needed wisdom, he can find it in Christ. Are you getting the point? Meanwhile, these are the resources with which you make a man to become a son. Are you getting the point now? So when God installed Christ in you, his hope is that when you deal well with those components of glory, you will become a son. So this is my point. Man sinned and then he fell. So he was not even qualified to experience the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And if there is no indwelling of the Holy Spirit, there is no possibility of experiencing these things I said. Have you read the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3? Where I think verse 17. Read it for me quickly. Let me read it. In verse 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, nevertheless, when he shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. He said, now the Lord is what? And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? What does the scripture mean by liberty? You have missed it. What that thing meant is access. Now, this is what that scripture is trying to say. Remember, do you remember when Jesus was telling his disciples, he said, I have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them. In fact, he came to a point, he said that it is expedient that I go. Imagine that. Wouldn't you like Jesus to be your pastor? Wouldn't you like Jesus to be your pastor? I know you would like Jesus to be your pastor. But Jesus is telling you, my pastoring you is not useful in comparison to the Holy Ghost coming. I want to even ask you the question. What was the promise that God gave Abraham? I know you don't. What was the promise? You heard somebody say it now. Is actually the Holy Ghost. Go and check book of Galatians chapter 2 and chapter 3. Is the Holy Ghost. That is the promise actually. So the only way to receive the Holy Ghost after the fall now is by faith. So I'm not going there. So Jesus is trying to say that there are many things I needed to communicate, as I taught you people before. Remember when Jesus told his disciples Peter, James and John to come and pray with me on the mountain, and they could not, just 1 hour. That means even though they heard, they can't bear it. Just like we can come here and tell people to pray, they can't pray. Do you know why? They have not interacted with the spirit of prayer. When you interact with the spirit of prayer, he will speak to you in a way that you will hear. Just because I spoke doesn't mean you have heard.
or rather, just because I spoke doesn't mean you can receive what I said, because hearing is different from bearing. So you can hear something but you can't bear it for many reasons. Some of them the state of your heart, some of them as a result of the doctrine that you have heard. So you need hammer to break your heart. There are many reasons. It can be many reasons. Some of them can even be because of demonic activity. That's by the way. Now, are you with me? So, in that state, it is not possible for you to interact. So, when God says pray, the pray is not the word I'm saying. The pray is some. When you start praying, it means you heard God. When God told you to do something and you have not done it, in His own mind, you have not heard Him. The proof you heard God is that you have started obeying Him. Should I show you from the scripture? If I go, it will take me time. Okay? There is a man that sent his two sons to do something. He told one, do it. The one said, I won't do it. Then he told another, do it. The one said, my father, I'm going to do it. And that one that said he will do it did not do it. And the one that said, I won't do it, none did it. The question Jesus asked is, who is correct? Who was correct according to their judgment? The one that did it. As far as God is concerned, the one that heard was the one that did. The one that said, I heard, didn't hear. Because the proof that he didn't hear is because he couldn't do it. Are you with me now? Meanwhile, so this is the point. Jesus told them to watch with me for 1 hour. Even though they heard it, they went with Jesus to the mountain. They couldn't pray. And their destiny was hanging on it. See, there are men, even if their life is hanging on it, they can't pray. Even if their destiny, the things that is binding their, they know that Satan has bound them. And what it takes is prayer. They can't pray. They can't fast. They can come here. They have heard people say, read it in the Bible, pray. They can't pray, because even though they are hearing with their ear, their heart can't bear it. And as far as Jesus is concerned, they have not heard. So when Jesus took Peter, James, and John to go to the mountain, to pray, remind me your name so I'll be calling you. So when he took them to the mountain, he told them, watch with me for 1 hour. Do you know these people couldn't? Is it because they didn't hear what Jesus said? That means they were not able to interact with that truth. Guess what? When the Holy Ghost came after the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 6 verse 4, it was Peter that said that we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. It was then that we understood that now they didn't need Jesus physically to tell them to pray. They have now given themselves to prayer. Are you getting the point now? The question is this: if they didn't hear when Jesus spoke, how come they now heard? That is to show you that God's communication mode is not necessarily verbal. There is an administration after the inward man that you can heed. Meanwhile, you can hear with your ear and not heed. Let me give you an example in the context of prayer. So you that God has been saying your destiny depends on prayer, you have refused to pray. So you encountered a meeting like this, and by the time you are leaving, you felt a burden to pray. As you are praying, before you know it, 1 hour passed. Is it not true? 2 hours passed. Meanwhile, God has been telling you to pray 2 hours since the last 3 years. You have not been able to do it, but a burden was able to communicate the same language. So a burden is a spiritual communication mode. That is the way that the Holy Ghost can now communicate the same, watch with me for 1 hour. In this case now you will hear, but when he spoke to your ears you didn't hear. Do you know the challenge? There is something about the natural man that cannot bear the things of God. So God have to reach out to your spirit man and release the same ministration and communication after the inward man, and you can be able to interact with it there. So even though Jesus spoke, they didn't hear. But when the Holy Spirit spoke, not into their ear, by releasing a burden, in the attempt to discharge the burden, they accomplished the same thing that Jesus couldn't get them to do when he spoke to their ears. I say, are you getting my point now? So that was why the scripture said, when he shall turn to the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is access. The scripture is trying to say that the Lord became that spirit. That is, Jesus became the spirit in resurrection. Because as I've told you people, in resurrection, a man that has passed into resurrection
is reduced to his reality only. Are you with me? Because before you will come into resurrection mode, you have to pass through the cross. And when a man passes through the cross, the purpose of the cross is to reduce you to your reality. And the Holy Ghost can only walk with reality because he's the spirit of reality. The scripture said that they that worship God will do so what? In spirit and in truth. In that place, truth means reality. So the worship of God is both in a context and in a realm. So it means that the Holy Spirit can only interact with reality. If there are many things you are doing, the one the Holy Spirit can work with is the reality in it. So somebody can go to church, and you know that your church now, and they will be doing Sunday service for morning. How many services do you do? Two. Though some people do five. And after five services, the reality that the Holy Spirit can pick from five services is 15 minutes. Are you getting the point? So as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned, he is working with 15 minutes capital to run your life for 1 week. And as you are going to church once a week. So your destiny is running on the economy of 15 minutes fellowship. How do you expect that man to fulfill his destiny? Meanwhile, are you with me? Meanwhile, you will say, I go to church, I do things, I don't miss church. You are not getting it. We have to reduce your life to reality. And the way to do it is by the cross. A sister brought one guy to me one day, and the young man told me that he doesn't do anything bad. He is doing like you now. What's he not now? Do your hand like this. My hand is straight. See, devils and demons don't respect that thing. In fact, demons like people that are good in the natural order. If you are a good person, demons will come and feast on you. So that when they deal with you, people will say, how? How? Look at how wicked Satan is. You see, just like God wants people to say, how good are you? How faithful? That is the way Satan wants to say, how wicked are you, Satan? You are not with me. His own glory comes from your affliction. Let me tell you, from the scripture, the power of a demonic activity is measured by the amount of wickedness. What did I say? The power of a demonic activity is measured by the amount of wickedness. What did I say? The power of a demonic activity is measured by the amount of wickedness. So the more Satan is able to manifest his wickedness, the more he is happy. Just like the more God is able to manifest his loving kindness and goodness, the more he is happy. Are you getting the point now? So the Lord became that spirit so that he will be able to communicate the same reality that he was not able to do in the natural. Are you with me? The same thing that he carried bodily was now transferred into a realm that is the spirit. And from that context, he can minister the same thing and you will now obey. But this time around, he is not speaking to your ear, he is speaking to your heart. So some people that they have been hearing give, they can't give. One day you are in your where you are sitting, and then something broke like a tap. As it happened to someone, that's how I began to give up. It seemed as if a tap broke, and I was in a prayer meeting. Many things that happen to you in prayer meeting is beyond your needs. Sometimes what it takes for your trouble to be solved is for you to become more social. Guess what? You have tried to do it, it's not working. Then one day you came to prayer meeting and a tap broke. And when you finish, you didn't know when you hugged five people. When you finish, you say, is it me? Me, I'm not like this. Say tap. That tap can only be opened in the spirit realm. Speak in tongues, man. In Jesus' mighty name. There is something I want to touch, and I don't know how much you will be able to do it. In December, priesthood and eternal purposes. I've given you a recap. I want to touch this under the same. There is a subtopic: the stones and the construction site. The stones and the construction site. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. If you are there, say amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. If you are there, say amen. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's what? You are not with me. Say after me, you are what? I didn't hear you. You are what? The guy in blue is not responding. You are what? I'm not hearing you. You are what? Let's repeat it. 1, 2, ready, go. Ye are what? Wow. Let this thing sink in. What do you notice? When you say ye are God's building, that means God is a construction engineer. God is a construction engineer. I want to show you things. You know, do you know why people don't understand why we should pray for long, fast for long, and do those things? Do you know why? They have not encountered interpreters much in their journey. People that have the capacity to reach out to the eternal realm and bring perspective to their days on earth. So they think all it takes is for God to save them and make them good. They didn't know that God is in it. There is a project that God has. Are you with me? Every resource and investment that God is bringing to you is to achieve that target. Do you have money? It is towards that target. Do you have grace to pray? Do you have anointing? Are you with me? Any single investment that God has made in you and any environment that have the capacity to bring you to any form of advantage in the natural and in the spirit, is tailored towards one target, God's purpose. And from the scripture we read, the scripture said that ye are what? So God is building. God is building. So God is a construction engineer. Can you get that? Can you get that? That God is what? Because the thing I'm about to tell you is dependent on you understanding that God is a construction engineer. If you don't know it, you will not partner him. If you don't know it, you will not know the purpose of many things. If you don't know it, you won't know how to partner God. Are you with me? So if you understand this, you will know the things to measure in your life and the things that are minor. Guess what? Satan, even in the church, can take our eyes off many things and put it on other things that doesn't matter. As long as God's purpose, or as long as God doesn't have what it takes to achieve his construction. I will yet show you that just because God wants to build doesn't mean he will build with anything. Are you with me? Have you read the book of Matthew? Is it either Matthew chapter 16 or 18? When they began to ask Jesus question, or rather Jesus asked question, he said, who do people say the Son of Man are? And some people say that you are Elijah, Moses, whatever. He now asked his disciple, who do you say that I am? And Peter rose up and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. He said that it is with this that I will build. With the revelation of what? Christ. I will build my church. Are you with me? So I will build. That is to show you again that Jesus, God, is what? Is doing construction. So why did Jesus come on the earth? Say he came to construct. Guess what? The construction did not start in time. It started in eternity. There is a construction. When the scripture said, let us make man in our image. I told you people that the word make is a process. The word create can be instantaneous. But the word make is always a process. Are you with me? That is to show you that the making of man is actually a process, is a building process. Huh? So God came to construct something, and the fall truncated the construction. So when he spoke, Jesus delivered the questionnaire and spoke, and Peter was able to bring the answer. He said, yeah, the time has come for me to begin to build, because the material with which we work in this construction site is Christ. Are you with me? So I have started seeing that men have received the grace by the administration of the Father to enter into the revelation of Christ. Now I can build. Because the building that God wants to build in your life, the raw material with which he wants to build is what? Correct. Verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have what? You are not with me. I have what? Where is your Bible? Look into somebody's Bible. There is something that is happening here. The scripture first of all said that there is God's building. That means God is building. And then he said, this man answered, I'm a wise master builder. Is it God that is building or Paul that is building? Who is building? Are you not confused? Who is building? Huh? He said it's Paul. The prince. Who is building? Huh? He said it's Paul. Who is building? Huh? He said he's God, but he's using man to build. I think that's the best answer. Are you with me? So this is it. The investment of grace that is upon that man's life has given him the capacity to represent God in his building agenda. Are you with me? For you to fully understand the statement of Paul, you might have to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, so that you will understand. It was there that the man listed the offices of Christ. And when he listed the offices of Christ, which in which the building grace was invested originally, it is from that home that the building grace flows into us. Give me a little volume. Find me. I'm not sure this sound I'm finding. We need to fly. I need to release a burden to you. You need to cry all night. A fresh revelation of where God wants to take you to. Have you seen the construction that God is working on in the spirit that is called your spiritual mode? There is a man God is constructing in the spirit. When last did you visit the site? When last were you in the construction site? That's why you are satisfied with where you are now. You can catch one or two revelations and run out. What you didn't know is that every revelation is not to teach, is to build, because there is a construction. Men that have been taken in the spirit and they have seen the construction site and the work that God is doing, how robust it is, they pay attention. They know that the target of God is not to make you to say, is to make you to be. In that place, you are effective in your journey, in your path of spiritual progress, if you make a journey to your construction site once and again. Oftentimes, you need to visit there so that you will see what the Holy Ghost is doing. It is from that standpoint, that vantage, that you can partner him well. You will come there, will come back there with a dissatisfaction. You will know that the distance between where God is going, what he wants to accomplish as a building in your heart, and where you are now is like Nigeria and London. Then you will humble yourself and yield yourself to the mighty hand of God, so that the hand and the government of the spirit will come afresh on your life. You see, there are many believers that are jumping around, though. They have not visited the construction site, and the construction engineer is waiting. God is the construction engineer, and the Holy Ghost is the foreman, the site manager. did you visit the construction site? There is a building God is building. Additional Wago Foundation in Kew. For some of you, what they are just trying to do is to check the plumb line of your foundation, the dimension of your. They have not. Are you with me? I'm not trying to cajole you. When I say this, what I mean is that the scripture was speaking in the book of Hebrews chapter 5. He said that we should leave the foundational doctrines of Christ and enter into maturity. Meanwhile, there are they in the body of Christ that have not been established in the foundational matters. That, so when I talk about the construction site, have you visited it? I mean you have not been grounded in foundational matters. That means as far as the construction site is concerned, they are still trying to put plumb line on your foundation to see if we can get your foundation. Sure, there is no construction that has started yet. The journey is far. That is why you now understand why we are praying every day. Because I can ask you a foundational question and you will not be able to answer it conclusively to prove to you that even your foundation is not yet settled. And if the foundation is not yet settled, there is no building yet. Are you with me? God is trying to do a plumb line. And plumb line is as a result of the furnishings of discernment after your inward man. When a man is grounded on the foundational dimensions of the doctrine of Christ, one of the things he brings into your inner man is discernment, the capacity to perceive where there is. Are you with me? There are some people that can do anything as they are now. There are some ladies, they can wear clothes that is here and come into church. For them, they don't know what is wrong with it. Those people, there is no plumb line yet. When you begin to mature, are you with me? The plumb line will begin to work faster. Your conscience will become stronger. There is a way you begin to appear like this. Are you with me? They begin to tell you. For others, so, but for you now, we are now reducing the dimension of your work. Are you getting what I'm saying? There is a plumb line. You can't be building like this. Are you hearing me, Esther? You can't build like this. It's like this. If not, when you finish building, when we finish building, when we look at your building, it will be like this. Meanwhile, what God wants is a straight path for the Lord. He said, let the valleys be filled up. Let the high places be made low. Let the mountains be brought down. Let's make a highway for the Lord. For the Lord cometh. Listen to me. Listen. He said, as a mighty master builder, I built. That fundamental grace was what was invested in Christ. Such was the grace that was released to the ministry office. And the scripture was telling us in extension in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. He said, for the equipping of the saints, for the perfecting, for the work of ministry, the target of the exposition in that scripture is to show us that the target of God is to bring believers to the point where there is a building inside of them. Such a thing as Jesus would have done if he's the one that is standing as an apostle. A man will stand in our day invested with the apostolic grace of God and he will begin to build as a master. In Jesus' name. Now listen to me. Paul said, as a wise master builder, I build. It's an investment of grace. When he spoke like that, he's meaning to tell you that it is not everybody that has that investment of grace. Listen to me. I want to tell you, many people have asked me a question. Why is it that we started together and we are fasting and praying together, we are going to church together, but it seems as if your life ended up better than my own? Do you know the fundamental challenge? Many believers in the body of Christ did not encounter the master building grace. What did I say? Many believers in the body of Christ have not, even up till now, encountered the master building grace. So they are kept as children forever. So when they see some things, they will think They didn't know that what they call the end is actually the beginning. It will take a master building grace for you to know that what you call bread is actually stone. For a master builder, when he sees, are you with me? When he sees things in the construction site, he calls it stones. For somebody that have not been invested with that grace, that still operates with the motivation of the natural realm, he sees stones and calls it bread. Even when they appear as stones, he will convert them to bread, because he doesn't know that God's intent does not end in satisfying the flesh. Are you with me? You are not getting my point. My point is that if the engagement of the training that you have received in the body of Christ is tailored towards serving your own agenda, giving you car, giving you shoe, they have turned stones to bread for you. And in that attempt, you will never become anything. You have never encountered the master building grace. When you encounter that kind of grace, they will show you that you have been eating your stones as bread. They will show you how to turn your bread to stones and begin to construct. Are you getting the point now? Many things, they will take prayer and focus it on your need. That means they have turned prayer that should be a building material to bread. Meanwhile, God's intent is that prayer fundamentally should be a stone with which you build. That the study of the word of God should be a stone with which you build. That fasting should be a stone with which you build. That sacrifice should be a stone with which you build. But when a man gives a sacrifice and gives a pledge, he gives God 100,000 in his own mind. His target is that God will give him breakthrough. Because all he understands about the building blocks and stones in the spirit is that they are turned into bread. The same thing that God uses to build the superstructure of his house and building in the spirit, that is what the average church has turned to bread, and we hate it. And we expect to become the house of God. And we expect to get to the point in the spirit when we will be able to house the dimension. We can't. All this thing we are moving, we are saying God will come, God will come. If God comes, where is he going to stay? Are you saying God will come? He's going to come in our generation. There is a revival coming. If God comes, where is he going to stay? The highways are still highways. The valleys are not filled up. The mountains are still high. We need Elijah. We need Elijah. The scripture says, surely Elijah, the spirit of revival, shall come before the great and the dreadful day of the Lord. And the target of that spirit is to call back the hearts of the children to the fathers. The voice of one that crieth in the wilderness. He said, make the straight path for the Lord. Let the crooked path be made straight. Let the valleys be filled up. Let the mountains be made low. So that we will have a highway for the Lord. Let me warn you from today, stop turning your stones to bread. Cry to God in the next 3 minutes. Tell him, I repent in all the ways that I've turned the stones of building to bread. I repent. Your life is a construction site. The body of Christ is a construction site. If we turn all our stones to bread, wherewith are we going to build with? Pray for one more minute. Until my only ghost is you, spirit keep brooding over me, till I look more like you. 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 Till I look more like you.
till I look more like you. Till I look more like you. Till I look more like you. Till I look more like you. Till I look more like you. Till I look more like you. Till I look more like you.
Pray, pray.
Till I look more like you.
Continue constructing. Continue building. Continue molding. Confirm me. I'm your construction site, Spirit of the Living God. Build, build, don't stop till your work is complete. I am your construction site, Holy Ghost. Build, build, don't stop until your work is complete. In Jesus' mighty name. I want to pray for the sick now. If you are following us online, you are not left out. Just take your hand and put at the part of your body that is ailing you. Or just put your hand on your head. In the name of Jesus, I want to hear your amen. In the name of Jesus, 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 Father, I come against every spirit of infirmity. Every spirit of infirmity, I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ to lose your hold, lose your hold, lose your hold, lose your hold, lose your hold. I command you to leave the bodies of people. There is somebody that is listening to me. You are following online. You have your own, is not a bodily healing that you need. You need the healing of the heart. The Holy Spirit is ministering to you now. There is somebody that has migraine. That migraine is leaving now in the name of Jesus Christ. Is leaving now in the name of Jesus. I bind you, spirit of infirmity. I charge you in the name of Jesus. Take your hands off. Ouch! Behind every spirit of pain, I charge you to live in the name of Jesus. bind cancer and I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. I bind tumor. I bind fibroid. I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. Every blinding spirit, I charge you to go. Blinding spirits, go. Blinding spirits, go. Deafening spirits, go. Deafening spirits, go. Come against every symptom of stress, of tiredness, of malaria, of weakness, and I command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything and every sickness, I challenge you to go. Every growth, every broken bone, every missing body part.